With me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. This is found in the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke chapter 1. We're reading verses 26 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. And hear now the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, isn't it great that we're able to sing our Christmas carols once again? I mean, I really enjoy it. O little town of Bethlehem, what a beautiful hymn, and all the different songs that we're beginning to hear sometimes on the radio or whatever. But, you know, with all of this, every year there's this cloud that kind of hangs over Christmas. And like Christianity Today said, not this year, but a year ago, they had a big poster that said, "Let the Christmas wars begin." The Christmas rush, they said, was nothing compared to the Christmas wars. And what is the battle? What's this war that's being fought? Well, the war is the struggle that every Christian faces at Christmas time to keep Jesus as the focus of our Christmas celebration, of our time together. And we fight this battle every year. And part of the reason for that is that every year it seems like there are new attacks on our faith, new attacks on our ability to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, the one that came by God's promise. And these attacks always seem to come either from without or from within. You know, we have attacks coming from without, physical attacks happening around the world right now. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the car attacks, where cars have been driving into Christmas celebrations, Christmas markets. Last year in Germany, six people were killed as a car rammed through the barriers and struck people who were trying to worship in their own way or purchase things for Christmas, celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we know that there are others that are trying to tear apart the foundation of Christmas. How long have we faced this issue where people didn't even want somebody to say Merry Christmas? It was almost as if they were doing something horrible or put up even Christmas decorations. Now, here's an article that was written. It's reported by Fox News, and it happened in St. Anthony, Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, especially as of late, you may know, has had a large Muslim population, and the people there are, for some reason, afraid to say something or do something that would offend the Muslim population. So this was reported by Fox News, and it says this. It was an article that was written in the journal there, in the paper at St. Anthony, Minnesota. "I couldn't help but notice your Christmas light display. And during these unprecedented times, we have all experienced challenges which casual words just don't describe what we're feeling. The idea of twinkling, colorful lights are a reminder of the divisions that continue to run through our society, a reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who can't afford to put up lights of their own. The letter shared by Crime Watch Minneapolis reads, "We must do the work of educating ourselves about the harmful impact an outward-facing display like yours can have." And basically what they were saying was, you know, we have to be careful so that we don't offend. And so we shouldn't be celebrating out in public. We shouldn't be saying things like Merry Christmas. In other words, everything has to be subdued so that we don't offend. Wow. These are the attacks against Christian celebration of Christmas. We have the physical attacks, but we also have theological attacks. We have those who basically challenge our belief that, number one, Mary was a virgin. Number two, that Jesus was born without sin, that Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. All these things are being challenged, not outside, but inside, in churches. People that say, well, these things really don't matter, and these are archaic beliefs that we don't have to hold to these anymore, so let's look at today and tomorrow. Let's not look back and see these things. Let's instead just continue to enjoy the blessing of God and not hold to these things, because Christmas is offensive, let's face it, to many people. Well, what's the objective of all this? Why does this happen? Well, there's a desire to remove every Christian influence from our culture. In other words, Christianity is one of many religions. There are some people that hold to it, but it doesn't represent everyone. So therefore, let's not celebrate Christmas. If the Christians want to go off somewhere by themselves, out in the woods somewhere and celebrate Christmas, that's their business. But we don't want it done publicly. Really, it's an attempt to try to turn Christmas from something that's holy into something that's pagan, a pagan holiday. Now, you know and I know that we have heard many times that Christmas is nothing more than the reinvention of a pagan holiday. All of us have heard that. In fact, I want to read this to you. This is something that was called The Truth About Christmas, and it was published widely. And it says this: "The truth about Christmas often refers to the holiday's roots in pagan traditions, with many customs and symbols adopted by the early Christian church, though they were not present in the Bible. The date of December 25th was chosen to coincide with existing pagan festivals like the birthday of the sun god Mithra and the Roman festival of Saturnalia, which celebrated the winter solstice. Many modern Christmas traditions, such as gift-giving, feasting, and the use of trees and holly, originated from these ancient pagan observances." Now, this has been going around for a long time, especially on the internet. And people will tell you, you know, Christmas is nothing more than a pagan holiday that Christians took. Who says so? Who came up with that? Can it be verified? Can it be documented? This is what they say. "The Roman holiday, Natalis Solis Invicti, which is the birth of the invincible sun, was on December the 25th. Saturnalia, the Roman festival honoring the god Saturn, involving feasting, gift-giving, general revelry, was the holiday on December the 25th. The Yule and sun worship, festivals like Yule, you've heard of the Yule log. Well, the Yule marked the winter solstice to honor the return of the sun. The date of Christ's birth was chosen to coincide with existing pagan festivals." I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard many times. "The Christmas uses pagan traditions and symbols, like the Christmas tree, which is a tradition found in pagan practices. Singing of Christmas carols, pagan tunes were given Christian words. By the way, all this is coming, this is current right now. This is what people are posting and saying. Giving gifts traced to Roman Saturnalia festivals. But the question is, who came up with all this? Who reported this? Who wrote it? You know, so much of what we have accepted in our culture as being truth has been written by individuals because it's their opinion. They don't bother to document it. They don't go back and say and quote their sources as far as this is why we believe this. They don't have to. They just put it out there and let people challenge them. Do you realize how much of our history as the United States of America was written by people that had some kind of an axe to grind? And yet it's written down, and there it is in history books, and we grow up reading these things, and we believe them without ever challenging them. You see, our worldview, and especially our view of Christianity in this society, has been molded and shaped by non-Christians, by people that don't believe in it. And their purpose and intent is to try to tear it down, change it, make it so incompatible with reality that people don't want to accept it anymore. And of course, people are quick to talk about the practices within the church, but then also, you know, that Christmas is nothing more than a pagan holiday, and that's why we have things like Santa Claus and things like the practices that we have in our society. But I want to look at the other side of the coin, because especially recently, Christian theologians and Christian historicists have been digging deeper into all these myths that have been presented as truth to the Christian community. Here's the truth. The celebration of Christmas began with the incarnation of Christ. The birth of Christ began the Christian tradition. The early church celebrated the birth of Christ repeatedly, over and over again, from the time of Jesus' birth. And in fact, from the earliest days, the birth of Jesus was treated as an essential Christian doctrine. Christians realized the power and the impact of God coming to earth, and they rejoiced and they celebrated that moment. They celebrated the event. Now, the truth is, the resurrection was emphasized more than the birth of Christ, but the nativity was always a central part of Christians' faith, always, from the beginning. So then why December the 25th? What's the deal there? Was that just a pagan festival and the Christians wanted to put something in its place, which is a lie that we're being told? No, it wasn't. And this is very interesting. And this mostly comes from Hippolytus, who was an early church father. The other one was Julius Africanus, who was also a church father, usually around late first century, early second century. And they wrote according to this. And they talked about the birth of Jesus as being December the 25th. The date was theological. It was not pagan. Early Christians used something called the calculation tradition to determine the birth of Jesus. Now, early Christians believed that the day Jesus died was also the day in which he was conceived. And by looking it back, they calculated that his crucifixion was on March the 25th. And so what they did, they added 9 months to March the 25th, and that was the birth of Jesus on December the 25th. That's where the date came from. Now, was it stolen from pagan festivals? No, it was not. In fact, the pagan festivals took that date to try to counteract Christianity. Look back, the Romans set those dates after the birth of Christ, after the church said this was the time of his birth. Now, I realize there are many people that say, well, now, wait a minute. We don't believe that Jesus was born on December the 25th. And, you know, I have to say, more than likely, that was not the exact date. But The date, December 25th, goes way further back than these festivals that they claim the Christians took over. There are several books that are written right now, very scholarly books, about the possible time of birth of Jesus. You know, and some feel like it was either in the late fall or it was in the early spring because the sheep were in the fields. There are a lot of things about that. In fact, last year, probably going to do it again this year, but we talked about this star program called the Starry Night that goes back in time, and it can show almost exactly when the Star of Bethlehem appeared and all these different things. You know, and they're coming closer and closer to determining exactly when it was that Jesus was born. But the whole issue is, why? He was born. That's the thing. And the date of that was not something that was taken from pagan beliefs. It was something that the early church came to in a completely different way. We've been sold a lie. We've been told something that's not true. Well, what about the Christmas tree? Pagan. Get it out. There is zero evidence that ancient pagans used decorated evergreens in celebration or worship. Zero. And yet we've been told the Christmas tree is pagan. It's not. Actual origin of the Christmas tree, back in medieval Germany, Christians used to take what they called paradise trees. And these were trees that were used in their biblical plays about Adam and Eve. And on these paradise trees, in order to show God's abundance, they would hang fruit on the trees. And the idea really caught on. People loved it. And I'm sure somewhere along the line, somebody said, why don't we do that for Christmas? Let's take the paradise tree, hang fruit on it, and put it inside. Pagan practice? No, it was not. It came out of the church. It came from people that were trying to honor God and celebrate the birth of their Savior. So why is it that some are trying to destroy Christmas? Why do some people work so hard to be so negative and tear down everything? Well, one of the big blessings of Christmas are the lights. Lights everywhere. Lights downtown. Lights in people's homes. Drive along, you see Christmas lights. And there's a reason for all that. And that's because Christmas is a time of joy and it's a time of light. A time when the fruits of God's Spirit are in full display. Here are the fruits of God's Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things that when we talk about the Christmas spirit, that's what it is. It's a time of rejoicing in the fact that God loves us and that He cares for us and that He wants us to be happy in His family, to rejoice in His family. And it's because of this that the enemy works overtime to try to steal it away, to take it away. You know, Jesus made this statement. This is in John chapter 3 and verse 19. And He said, well, the problem is this: not that men had not the light, but men had the light and they preferred the darkness. And that's exactly what's happening in these people's hearts when they try to destroy Christmas. I don't want you to be happy. I don't want you to be full of joy. I don't want you to be giving and surrendering. And I don't want that. I can't stand it when people are happy. People had the light, but they preferred the darkness. And for that reason, they're trying to destroy the joy of Christmas. By the way, I didn't even get into gift giving. Gift giving was also, you know, these lies on the internet will say that gift giving goes back to the Roman habits, and no, it doesn't. The Christian church always gave gifts. That was part of their love for one another. They helped one another. They tried to take care of one another. That was gift giving. And singing carols. You know, I read in this one post, I didn't quote it here, but I read in this one post that Christmas carols are nothing more than secular songs given Christian words. What a lie. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Think about a secular song that would match that. Joy to the world. Think about a secular song that would fit that. There aren't. There aren't. See, they started off saying that all of our political songs, like the Star-Spangled Banner and, you know, the songs that we sing about America, that they were all drinking songs that were changed. Who writes this stuff? Christmas carols are unique. Do you realize there's no other nation in the world, there's no other religion in the world, other nations sing Christian carols, but no other nations that religions that actually lift up their beliefs in song. The Muslims don't have carols, singing carols. The Buddhists don't have carols to sing. Only Christians do. It's unique to our faith. You see, my feeling is that the enemy tries to use diversion as a tactic to get our eyes off of the real joy that lies in Christmas and put them on other things. You know, he perverts everything. He perverts every good thing. We're told in James that every good and perfect thing comes from above, from the Father of lights. That's what we're told. And the enemy destroys it, perverts it, changes it. And really, our challenge is to take those things back and bring them back under the heading of worship. Things like our music and things like our worship are speaking his name. You know, think about what's happened in these different areas in relation to Christmas. Music. You know, we enjoy, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. We enjoy hearing those because they're nice songs and whatever. They don't have anything at all to do with why we celebrate Christmas. It hits emotions. It hits our memories. And, you know, I'm not the Grinch here. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't do that because it does bring joy to us. And I think that pleases the Lord. But when we replace that which is given to us by God with these things, then it no longer brings joy. You know, Grandma got run over by a reindeer, can't hold a candle to Joy to the World. And even things like our gift giving, you know, it's become a compulsion. It's not simply a gift given from an open heart, wanting to please somebody, wanting to bring joy to someone else's life now. It's something that we have to do. In fact, the day after we give thanks to God for all he's given us, people are willing to stand in line beginning at 5 a.m. so that they can get a deal on a big screen TV. As if we don't have enough. We do have enough. And God has given us everything we need for joy in his kingdom. Our decorations. You know, at least once a year, we like to watch Christmas Vacation, Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And it's always funny when we see him turn on that light, the switch that lights up all of his house lights. And finally, they all turn on after much effort. And you can see the electric meter start spinning like a fan, you know. And it's always funny. But really, it's representative of people that it's become for them a compulsion. It's not a joy. They start in September decorating their houses for Christmas. It's an overboard. Giving gifts, overboard. We watched this thing where parents would start allowing their children to open gifts a week before Christmas. I can remember as a child, you know, you couldn't even open one gift on Christmas Eve. Maybe, you know, the gift from out of town or whatever that happened to come in, you know, but the gifts were opened on Christmas. And these people were allowing their children to open gifts, and their house was filled with presents, and I'm talking hundreds. It's like, that's not what gift giving is about. That's being confused with materialism, and that's not what Jesus came for. So our challenge is to bring this back into conformity with God's word. You know, if you read in Scripture in Genesis, the first musician was a son of Cain, and his name was Jubal. That's where we get the word jubilation. Jubal. That's the first time it says that he was a master of instruments and made beautiful music. That's the first mention of music in the Bible. The second time it's mentioned as part of the worship of God. And that's where the believers, the followers of God, God's people, took that music and they said, this would be great in our worship. And they took it and they honored God with music and with musical talent and ability. That's what God wants us to do with these things. We're not stealing them from the pagan world. The pagan world has stolen them from us. We're reclaiming them. We're taking them back and giving them back to the Lord as heartfelt worship to God. See, here's the thing. We love Christmas as a holiday, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that until it takes the place of Christmas as a holy day. Christmas is a holy day. It's unique. All religions have their special holy days. But do you realize in all these holy days, the only one that's about giving is Christmas? And why would that be? That's because on that day, God gave the very best that heaven had to offer. His son, Jesus. He gave that as a gift to his people. The gift of salvation through Jesus our Lord. So you know, the truth is, we celebrate Christmas December 25th as his birthday. Whether it is or not, to me, isn't even an issue. Doesn't have to be. It's the day that we choose to celebrate the birthday of our King, of our Savior. So I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to end with this one. And that is, who celebrates your birthday? Who is it that celebrates your birthday? Truth is, only the people that love you or care about you will celebrate your birthday. Who is it that celebrates Christmas as a holy day? Only people that love Jesus. They're the only ones. Let's have a great Christmas. Let's remember these things. Let's remember to celebrate and enjoy a God who loves us and cares for us, and a Savior who died for us. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you and praise you that you are so merciful. Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us eternal life through our Savior, Jesus. Lord, I pray and ask that our hearts might be fixed on you, that, Lord, we would be able to celebrate your birthday, that we would enjoy the songs, that we would enjoy the festivities, that we would enjoy the gift giving, that we would enjoy everything that Christmas represents, and yet at the same time that we would maintain the holiness of the birth of our Savior, Jesus. I pray for each person here, Lord, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us as we turn our hearts and our thoughts to you, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
And on that musical note, please stand, and we will sing our final hymn, number 227. We'll sing the first two verses, first three verses now, and the fourth one after the benediction.
Please bow with the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.